I got one penny, I need another. We're going to keep it in the family. What I'd like to do, I don't have a little plastic bag to put these in, but I'd like for these to get passed around and everybody look at and hold those two pennies. We're going to talk about 2 cents worth this morning. 2 cents worth. As we seek to be faithful stewards to the Lord, we understand that little is much when God is in it. 2 cents doesn't seem like a lot. But if God's in the 2 cents, and he's in the heart of the person who gives the 2 cents, some incredible things happen. Amen? It's recorded in Luke and it's recorded in Mark, the same account that Jesus told of the widow lady who gave 2 cents. 2 cents matter. What's 2 cents worth? I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. And stand together with me, please, in honor to God's word. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. In everything, all that she had to live on." Dan Brandon Mule, would you ask God to bless the reading of his word this morning? Man, you may be seated. We need to understand that God's economy is different than our economy. We think it's the more and more that you got, the better and better off that you are. But in God's economy, 2 cents is worth everything. This lady in Luke basically had 2 coins to rub together. That was all that she had. She gave both of them to God, and when she was done with her donation, she didn't have $100,000 left over. She didn't have $100 left over. She didn't even have 100 pennies left over. The coin is a mite. It's a miter. It's really worth about 2/5 of a penny. She had nothing left. She had given it all. Suppose we took the offering just a little bit ago, but suppose this morning, when we had been taking the offering, that we hadn't done it the way that we did it, that there were 13 large trumpet colanders. Trumpet colander is, imagine like a bowling ball pin standing tall, and it would stand about yay big off of the floor. Those 13 colanders were in the courtyard of the women, which everyone could come to. And people were bringing their offering that day. And Jesus is just sitting off to the side watching the offering take place. Did you know that Jesus always is watching the offering take place? Boy, that's a sermon in and of itself, isn't it? He watched what was taking place. Everyone was coming, or most everyone was coming. And it got to be a show. People would see this particular person coming forward and they would maybe drop in several coins. They might see this other one come and they brought grain. And maybe this other one came and they noticed that they reached in and put in jewels. And somebody else that was sitting over here was kind of coming up and, you know, there was oohs and ahs that were taking place and all that was going on. And someone over here maybe brought some precious metal like gold or silver and put that in. And maybe somebody came and had a necklace that was worth a lot and took that and dropped that into one of the trumpets. And Jesus was watching it all. And it really became kind of a show, as is in a lot of places, of keeping up with the Joneses, or who can outdo the person that was before you? Who can get the better ooh or ah? Who can be noticed more by what they've put in? Who can be the one that will motivate someone else to do more because they've done a lot? And when they would walk away from worship that day, I would imagine that when they got right outside of the temple, the conversation that of those that gave in the offering that day, did you see what so-and-so gave? Oh, I gave more than them. Did you see what they gave? Well, hey, they put in more. Did you see what they did? Did you hear the sound when that person dropped in that necklace? Did you see the glitter of the precious metal that went into that colander? You could just, its sun would just kind of glisten on it. There was probably not anybody outside the temple after service was over that mentioned, did you see the little lady sneak up and put in 2 cents worth? But when it was over, Jesus said to his disciples, she gave more than all of them. She gave her all. Literally, she put herself in. You see, Jesus evaluates our gifts. He evaluates how we give our lives to him. And as we give our lives to him, our lives matter. You put in your 2 cents worth. And you think, hey, you know what I have? Sometimes when it comes offering time, we might be like that lady that we're embarrassed. Like I look in here and I got 55 cents plus that penny that's going around there somewhere. Gave online Friday afternoon, so our tithe was put in. But, you know, I tell you that not to say, hey, the pastor gave his tithe. I tell you that to say God has blessed us more than we could ever give back to him. He deserves not 10% of what my paycheck is. He deserves our all. For some folks, they would think that we can't do it because we can't do it as much as what someone else can. We might know that someone sitting here in the sound of my voice could very easily write in a check for $100,000. And immediately, you know, your heads and your minds are turning, who would that be? Or that someone else could give $10,000. Or someone else would give $5,000 to whatever it might be. Say, so, oh, that lets me off the hook, God. I don't have the $100,000. I don't have the $10,000. I don't have the $500. Are you willing to give God your last 2 cents? Are you willing to give him yourself? This is the same kind of stewardship challenge that the prophet Elijah had given to the Shunammite woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 to 6. You remember? It was her and her little boy. He was hungry. He came to her house. He asked her to make him something to eat. She said, really, I can't do that. I just have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make 2 cakes. My son and I are going to eat them, and then we're going to die. Sometimes when we get to the end of ourselves, we feel like we're going to die. When you look at your resources versus the challenge, we're going to die. We don't have much. But the lady said, I'm willing to do what the prophet said. She made the cake. She stirred it up and made it and gave him something to eat. And there was something there for her son and for her. And the next day there was more for her son and her and the prophet. And the next day and the next day. You can't outgive God. You may only have 2 cents. You may only have a little bit of flour and oil. But when you give it to the Lord, God will take care of you. It's not about show, and it's not about the dough. 2 cents may not seem like much, but it really is everything. Money speaks about us. It speaks about our relationship with God and what we value. The possessions that God has placed in your hands are yours not to hoard and to hold on to, but to allow them to flow through your hands to others. It may be money. It may be material. It may be food that you can make. It may be a prayer or a smile or a hug that you can offer. But when God has given it to you, He challenges you and I to pass it on. You see, Jesus is watching and He cares about our giving. He cares about how much we give. He cares about how we give and the attitude in which we give it. When He cares about our giving, He says, really, 2 cents does matter. You hold those in your hand and say, that's not a lot. In fact, you know, there's been talk down through the years of doing away with the penny because it takes more than a penny to make a penny. Well, some would say it takes more than a dollar to make a dollar. But we notice that Jesus watched, and He cared about the giving. You see, there's a sense in which God's business and God's kingdom is still going to advance. Whether I put in my offering or you put in your offering, God's kingdom's still going to advance because hearts are still listening to the Lord, whether you and I do or not. But God has given us a golden opportunity to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And we might say, oh, I'm let off the hook. You know, I'm not the millionaire. I haven't won Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. I haven't won the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. I haven't gone to the mailbox and received that anonymous check in the mail that says that you're the long-lost heir of so-and-so and here's your inheritance. I didn't even have 2 cents. I had to borrow one from a wife. We had 2 cents together. What's our 2 cents worth? To God, it's worth everything. He has a plan in our giving back to Him. His plan is called tithes and offerings. Literally, we let go and let God. We give Him a tenth. And as we give Him the tenth, it is saying literally, as we bring what is known as the first fruits, we're saying, God, that everything that I has is yours. Everything that I have is yours. And I trust that you will anoint the 90% that's left over, or whatever percentage, if you've given God 20%, the 80% that's left over, or whatever the percentage would be, that God, that you would take it and use it and bless it and stretch it and make it work and let me see you working actively in my life. But you know, we cheat God when we hold back that 10%. We cheat God when we hold back our 2 cents. God's not going to miss my 2 cents, we say. No one's looking. They're looking at the jewels that's being brought. They're looking at the grain that's being brought. They're looking at the flowery robe. They're looking at the person who has the well-made suit. They see the big check. They look at the person that's bringing the big money bags. God won't miss my 2 cents. But will we miss God over 2 cents? Some, it's yes. The reason that God blessed that lady, and someone had sent me a thing earlier this week, not knowing what I was, they just sent me an encouraging text message, and they had talked about trust, and they had put trust equals rest. And I thought about that. Wow. When we trust God with all that we have, when we trust God with the very last thing that we have, when we trust Him with ourselves, not just in money, folks, but in your life, in your relationships, in what's in your hands and what's in your heart and what's in your head, when we put ourselves in the offering plate and trust God to make it work, then we find rest. But until you do, you don't. Until you do, you don't. Are you cheerful in the way that you give? Jesus saw that day people that were, what was really making them happy was hearing the applause and hearing the oohs and ahs going on around them. They were nervous until they would hear the sound and commotion and the accolades of others for what they had done. But Jesus was letting them know that it wasn't the accolades of others. It wasn't the show and it wasn't the impressing others that was really making it work and making it worth it. It was hearing Jesus say, well done. The ones who really need to hear Jesus say, well done, weren't even listening to him. They were trying to pay attention to what everyone else said. Brother Steve, if I can use you, and Terry, if I can use you, if I just give in the offering plate to cause Steve to have a smile on his face, oh, look what Mike did. And then Steve wants to give, so Terry said, oh, man, can you believe what Steve did? Our attention is on the horizontal plane rather than the vertical plane. We've already been rewarded. We've heard man's applause. We've heard the oohs and the ahs. But our heart is hollow and empty and hurting. Because really, we never let go of what we put in the trumpets. We just wanted to hear somebody else play in the horn to sing our praises. God help us. What's he teaching? How come some people don't get the matters of stewardship? Well, really, I think there's three reasons. One, they've never been taught. And the error here really falls squarely on preachers and Sunday school teachers, parents. A lot of pastors are scared about preaching about stewardship. What will people think? He's just asking for money again. He always asks for money. There he goes, preaching on stewardship again. He's got his hand in our wallet. Do you know that we went to Sunday, like kids come out of children's church that day, what did you learn today? They talked about 2 cents. That we were supposed to give God our last 2 cents. Now that child gets in your car after having told you that they learned that in children's church, some parents would say, They're even trying to corrupt the kids. You know, there's no way that we can get away from it. But the blame really falls squarely in the home. What did mom and dad teach you? And you who are couples and moms and dads, what are you teaching your children? Are we teaching them that 2 cents matter to God? Are we teaching them the value that what we give away, God will take and bless and take care of us? Or are we teaching them that it's what we got to hold on to? We better hold on to it or we're going to lose it. And one day we're going to wake up and we'll have nothing. I submit to you that it's what we've given to God and taken our hands off that we get to keep way more than we ever gave away. As a child, when I was little, well, I guess as a child I would be little. We'd get to church when we were real little, and mom or dad would give us a quarter or a dime or a nickel to put in the offering plate. We got a little bit older, we might be given 50 cents or a dollar. Then when time came that we started making allowance and giving allowance, we were given allowance and we were taught very early that God gets the first 10% and you get the rest. And so I remember my allowance was like $5. And I always wanted to have, the first couple of times they gave me a $5 bill and I'm like, and you know, $5 bill in the 70s was quite a bit of money. I got to go buy a Coke or something to break this up so I can get money to pay my tithe. And I said, no, I'm supposed to give God his money first. Mom, Dad, can you give me $4 in dollars, and can you give me a dollar's worth of change? Sure. So it made it real easy that I put in the 50 cents. Then I had $4.50 left to do with what I wanted. You can see the math. Then there would become time that Sister Tracy, they would have the alabaster box there. And we had gathered coins and for our alabaster box. And there were some weeks that, you know, no hooting and holler, no oohs and ahs. But I'd put the whole $4.50 in the alabaster box. What am I going to do for money the rest of the week? My mom's a good cook. Do I look like I missed a meal? We had clothes. We had friends. And some of those friends had moms that could cook. And you know, in like those weeks that I gave God everything, we didn't miss it. I can remember one alabaster Sunday in particular. I was probably about 13 years old. And we came back to church on Sunday night, and they used to have what was called NYPS training union deal. And as young teens, we'd sit in that class, and that's where we learn how to pray in public and read the Bible and give a testimony and lead a little lesson and so on. And then they had the evening service. And after church that night, I had no money. I'd already given all my money away. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about it. Well, there was this couple in the church that had a brand new station wagon. And the station wagon, you know, in that day would hold about a dozen teenagers. And said, we're going down to the Tasty Freeze tonight, and we want to take all the teens down to Tasty Freeze. And we got down there, and they said, you can get what you want, or the dairy, not the Tasty, it was the dairy dip is what it was called. And you can get whatever you want. And so, man, I got a hot dog all loaded up. I got fries. I got a Coke. And then I had an ice cream cone. And there were other teens that got even more than me. And I got all of that, and I didn't even have to pay for it. And I did all this with no money because all the money had been given to the church. I ate better that day with nothing in my pocket than I did on some days when my pockets were loaded. The lady had proven that she understood the principle that when you put God first, God's going to take care of you. A lot of times the responsibility is the parents or the teachers or the pastors have let them down. There's a great freedom in giving to God just to watch and see how God's going to take care of you. And he does it in different ways and in different weeks. And sometimes it's not in dollars and cents. It's in health, or it's in provision, or it's in prayers, or it's in support, or it's in encouragement. You just can't outgive God. Another reason that people struggle with tithing is they don't understand its importance and how really it's emphasized in the Bible. In the Bible, it replaces extreme importance on biblical stewardship. 500 in the verses in the Bible deal with prayer. We believe prayer is important, right? 500 verses deal with that. We believe faith's important, isn't it? There's 500 verses in the Bible that deal with faith. But money and possessions, there's over 2,000 verses that deal with money and faith and possessions. Does money matter to God? Yeah. Does 2 cents matter to God? Yes. Does the 2 cents that's in your hand matter to God? Yes. Do you think that all I'm asking for this morning is your money? No. God's asking for your life. Are you willing to put your life, whatever amount of cents that you have holding in your hand? And I want to say whatever amount of cents you have in your head. Are you willing to put it all in God's hands and say, God, would you make sense of this? God, would you work this out? Would you help me to understand that I can trust you? That you know that they're not going to foreclose on our house on Monday morning because we put 10% in the offering on Sunday. They're not going to foreclose and the bill collector's not going to come and take us into bankruptcy court because we gave an alabaster offering or a faith promise or an Easter offering. Or that we gave a quarter to our child to put in Sunday school. There's a third reason that people struggle with stewardship. They just simply refuse to do it. It's like the kid talking to their parent or someone else that's holding on to something. And you say, can I see that? It's mine. And they just want to hold on to that teddy bear or a little bunny. Or we hold on to our little money. And God's saying, will you let go? And trust me, it's mine. The it's mine attitude, the one on where we refuse, there's another word for it. It's called greed. If I'm the Lord of my possessions and I seek to hold on to them, what I don't realize is the more I hold on to them, the harder I get and the more frustrated I get, the more stress I get under. And if I hold on to stuff, you can hold on to something too long without really taking care of it. You're just trying to hold on to it, that it'll rust. Or moss and termites will get in. There'll be damage there, you know, that it'll be neglected. Oh, maybe you heard this illustration. This might help us with understanding about tithing. One day there was a pastor that was called to the house of a church member who was having financial difficulties. The pastor counseled him for a while and then stopped. And he said, well, let's just simply say a word of prayer today. And I'll pray and ask God to help you make a commitment to give one-tenth of your income to the Lord. Thinking about this for a little bit, the parishioner thought to himself, well, that won't be difficult. That's only $1,800 a year. $34.81 a week. I can do that. So they prayed and the man promised to give back 10% to the Lord. Into the Lord's work. Years passed. The man's income had now increased over $200,000 a year from $18,000. He called the pastor again and said, could you come to my house? He said, Pastor, I got a dilemma. Would you pray that I could be released from the 10% I promised the Lord several years back? Because a tenth of my income is now $20,000 and I've got plans for spending that money. That's no problem. The pastor said, let's pray. They bowed their heads and the pastor began to pray. Lord, you know what a problem this bigger salary has been for my brother here. I'm asking that you reduce his income back to the original $18,000 so that he'll be able to afford to tithe once again. God cares about our 2 cents. Because we are our 2 cents. And we are of great value to God. I don't want money to stand between me and making it to heaven. God doesn't want money to stand between you and making it to heaven. I don't want money to stand between any of us and being able to make a difference in somebody else's life. If God asks you to give them the last dollar in your pocket, are you willing to do it? You may find out that God has provided for you, and that dollar you got back way more than you ever expected by somebody else that was nice taking you out for ice cream when you were a little kid. God cares about what we give. The percentage. Some folks struggle attitudinally with giving 1%. Some struggle attitudinally with giving 5%. Others struggle with giving 10%. Others struggle with giving anything. You know what it amounts to? Sometimes they simply are saying, I don't trust God. What's he going to do with it? he going to be like the government and waste it? You know, can God be counted on? God's not the treasurer of the United States. He's not the accounting office at the UN. He is all and over all. And I'll put it to you this way. You simply can't outgive God. It may be that this morning you're giving 10% and God's saying to you, you know, you could give 11. It could be this morning that you're giving 10% and God's saying, you know, you could give 15 and you could trust me in this. It could be this morning that you're giving 20% and God's saying, you could give more. There was a church that we used to be a part of several years ago that on their Faith Promise Sunday, what they did was reverse the challenge around. They said to their people on that particular week, would you give God the 90% and live off of the 10 for that 1 week? No funerals were conducted because of somebody dying from malnutrition the following week. In fact, the stories came in, and I heard a lot of stories and witnessed a lot of them, how God miraculously took care of things that they'd been worried about. How can we afford this? How can we handle this? And they didn't feel like that they had the funds to do it, but in the week that they were keeping only 10% for their family was the week that a financial miracle came through for them. For others, nothing particularly happened that week, but they did find out that, you know, God can take care of us, but it's not the 10% or the 90%. It's the 100% of you that you're putting either on the altar, as it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourselves, or it's the 100% that you're putting in, like this little widow lady in 1 Kings and in our passage this morning in Mark. Significant. She only had 2 coins. She gave them all. She gave herself. She didn't really want to be noticed by others. She didn't want anybody to, look what she's doing. She don't have anything to give like anybody else, but guess what? To God, little things mean a lot. He took her 2 cents and he did a whole lot with it, but what about somebody of little reputation? In the Old Testament, the prisoner Joseph was let out of prison, and he was the one who was used to save a hungry world. Or a little army, Gideon, was told to do twice as much and to go small. He went home, he chased away all those that were not lapping water like a dog, and he had 300 soldiers left that took on the mighty Midianites and won a great battle. And little weapons. Goliath had a spear and a big shield, but David only had five small stones and a sling, and he only used 1 stone to hit the giant between the eyes and knock him over. And you might say, well, I've got little physical talent. Moses stuttered. He stuttered. And God was able to use him to free his people. Or maybe the place that you're from you think is nothing. You know, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, or I was born out in the wilderness. In Micah 5, 2, it says, thou Bethlehem, you're little among the earth. But Bethlehem became the birthplace of a Savior. Little as much when God is in it. This lady trusted God with all that she had with her whole life. She found out that there's rest when you trust. And you see, our attitude's the key. It's not given to keep up with the Joneses. It's not given to be noticed. It's, Lord, maybe you sit down with your checkbook and your income and your paycheck and your spouse and your kids, and you just, all right, this is all of what we got. How can we show that we're putting God first? And collectively as a family, go into that offering plate or that envelope. Collectively as a family is saying we're going to put God first in our family. And watch and see how God takes care of you. Not just first in your money, but first in your time and first in what you think about. First in how you approach others and each other. Do we give cheerfully? in 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Do we give liberally? In Luke 6:38 it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Do we give sacrificially or are we willing to give our all? Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Lord, I want you to know. You see, Jesus was the audience. The Heavenly Father was the audience. I want you to know that I trust you with all that I am, all that I'm not, all that I got, and all that I ever hope to have. She only had 2 cents to rub together, kind of like the 2 cents that's passed around here. Remember at the beginning I said she didn't have $100,000 left over after she gave the 2 cents. She didn't have $100 left over. She didn't even have 100 pennies. She had nothing but herself. That's worship. That's trust. That's where you find rest. And saying, God, here I am. And when you do that, God will take care of you. They've said that for any church in the world, that if everybody in the church tithed, there wouldn't be money struggles in a church. It doesn't matter what denominational sign name is on the sign out front. And God knows the needs of churches. But more than the needs of churches, God knows the need in our heart. He looks inside my heart and yours, and he's got better x-ray vision than Superman has. And he's not a comic book character. And he sees what's inside our hearts. He sees if we're willing to trust him. He said, try me in this, and see if I won't take care of you and pour on a blessing that you can't handle. I want to take Malachi at his words. That description is a description that, you know, you just simply can't outgive God. A lady that gave 2 cents and didn't want anyone to notice. Uh-oh. All of heaven noticed that she had given her all and she was taken care of. Guess what? God loves you just as much as he does the widow lady. And you can trust God just as much as the lady who gave 2 cents. What's 2 cents worth? Everything. Stand with me, please. Precious Lord, this morning, we thank you for the way that you've blessed us. We have more than we could have ever imagined. We have life. We have a measure of health. We have hope in you. We have a church family that loves you and loves us. Really, from the first 2 cents that I put in the offering plate as a little boy, I stand here today basking in the blessings. And I think everyone here in the sound of my voice, we know that it's what that we've given to you that we've been able to keep. It's what that we try to hold on that we lose. May we be generous in your sight. May we trust you. May we find that perfect rest in you. And in the coming weeks, Father, as we have tithes and offerings each week, and you know the needs of the church, what it takes for us to fulfill the mission, and help us to be even more mission-minded and ministry-minded. And as the offerings come up for the parsonage or Easter or whatever it might be, may we just say, Lord, here I am. All that I have is yours. And I thank you, Father, for the stewards who here have given us Jesus by the way that they've taken care of Susan and I. Bless them real good. And let them know you love them. And all of God's people said, amen. Go and share his love.